Today's episode is brought to you by Musical Theater Radio's merch store. Looking for that perfect gift for someone or just want to treat yourself to some great musical theater themed merch? Head to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the All Things Theater button on the homepage and check out all the different designs available. And now, today's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. Writing a musical is not easy. Is it harder than being a brain surgeon? It's just different. And unlike a doctor, there are fewer places to learn how to write a musical than there is for medical school. So maybe it is a little bit harder. Today, we are talking with Sam Carner, the program director of the Musical Creator Institute, to learn more about him and what MCI can do to help all you writers out there. Let's welcome Sam to the program. Hello.
Hello. Great to meet you and thank you for having me.
No problem. My pleasure. So before we get into MCI, let's get to learn more about you. I always ask our guests to do a 30-second bio. So my question is, who is Sam in 30 seconds?
Okay. Well, I am a musical theater book writer, lyricist, and educator. I've been writing musicals for many years, since I was about 13 years old, growing up in Maine, and I have been studying it and obsessing over it for the last 30 or so years. I'm based in New York City. I wrote a show called Unlocked that had an off-Broadway production and has been done around the country. My show Island Song has been done a number of times around the world. And my primary writing partner is Derek Greger, and we go by Carner and Greger. So we put out a number of cabaret songs that get done here or there. And I'm also a musical theater educator, having taught at a number of places like Yale and NYU and at Temple University in their musical collaboration MFA program.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I'm always curious. So you said you were into musical theater with 13. So you've been into it for quite a while now. I'm always curious, are you the black sheep of the family? Or is it like everybody in the family into the arts and that sort of thing?
I wasn't exactly the black sheep of my family. No one was specifically into musical theater, but my mom was a visual artist and came from a family of visual artists. So her studio was in our house and the arts were all around. My dad was an English professor. So the arts and letters were all around. And my parents, I guess, for better or for worse, encouraged me in this pursuit. And they took me to see shows when I was a little kid. I think they took me at age 5. I think I went to see the touring Royal Shakespeare Company production of Hamlet. And I didn't understand most of it, but I was there. And I saw, Peter Pan at the Main State Music Theater. And I really caught the bug, though, when they took me at age 6 to see Annie Get Your Gun. And from then on, we would listen to musical cast albums in the car on road trips. And they certainly didn't do anything to discourage me. And but in truth, if I think about it, my parents are really integrally responsible for my career. When I was 13, I had written this long story, and the Children's Theater of Maine had a young playwrights contest, and my dad suggested, so I had written songs into the story for some reason that only I understood, but my dad suggested I take this story and turn it into a musical. And if you think about it, I'm really lucky that I had such supportive parents.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it's always one so much easier when you have the backing of your parents to do something. So obviously you went into the arts and into musical theater in the long run, but was there ever a point where you went, maybe I'm going to do something else? Was that a foregone conclusion, or was there something else you thought about?
I think I may have deluded myself that from time to time that I might do something else. I think deep down I knew that I wanted to write musicals for, you know, most of my teen years and beyond. I wanted to have other options. And I did get a kind of liberal arts education so that if I decided I wanted to do something else, I could. But I always sort of gravitated toward this field. And in college, I ended up creating a self-designed major sort of built around musical theater academic study. It was called Music, Verse, and Drama. And it was essentially English and music and opera and poetry and dramatic literature and all of that.
Nice. So now we know a little bit about you, your love for musical theater. Let's jump right into the Musical Creator Institute. How did that begin?
Well, again, I have a bit of a history teaching musical theater. I taught courses at Yale, NYU, and Temple. And then a few years ago, a small for-profit performing school approached me about starting a partner musical theater writing program, which I did. And we started to admit students and had about a year and a half there until there was a major change in leadership and we ended up kind of going our separate way. And that's when we began the process of incorporating as the Musical Creators Institute. Now we have our 501c3 nonprofit status, and the Dramatists Guild has taken us in and it hosts the location for most of our classes. And so this is our first term really officially under the banner of the Musical Creators Institute. And we're really excited to be launching.
Wow. So this is fresh. This is relatively new then.
It is, but we have the benefit of faculty that we've been working with for the last several years and a model that we feel really strongly about.
Well, tell us a little bit about the faculty members that are going to be teaching. Yeah.
Well, this term, our faculty include Adam Guan, who wrote Ordinary Days, and Scotland PA, and is just a brilliant lyricist. Zena Goldrich of Goldrich and Heisler, who is probably most known for some of her songs like Taylor the Latte Boy and The Alto's Lament. And I'm actually teaching a course with her on comedy songwriting, I should say, this term. Andrea Daly, who's a composer, both in the sort of classical and pop and musical theater world, is teaching a course on composing for the voice. Broadway and Broadway tour music director Andy Colopy is teaching a course. Heath Saunders, who is the multi-hyphenate of all multi-hyphenates, actor, director, composer, lyricist, is teaching a course on jukebox musicals. Mm. Yeah. Right now we have a sort of a la carte model. So students can take one course, two courses, three courses, whatever fits their schedule and needs at this particular time. But the overall model is to try to provide support for different areas of specialization while also providing support for people to build competency in areas they may not be as familiar with. So we really want to create a shared language where words people are able to converse with composers and understand enough of their experience to be able to really contribute and to contribute to the collaboration and vice versa, to offer music people a deeper understanding of musical theater dramaturgy and all the kind of concerns of the other side of the aisle and alongside support for people that really want to be hyphenates.
It makes such a difference when you can understand the language of the person you're working with. Even if you're not perfectly fluent, at least you'd be able to communicate, which makes such a difference.
It certainly did for me. I mean, I've been a book writer, lyricist for the last 20 years, but having a musical education has made an enormous difference in all of my collaborations. Just being able to understand what I'm hearing most of the time, maybe not all of the time, but most of the time, and even occasionally be able to offer suggestions. It just, I think, makes for a more fluid collaboration.
Yeah.
And I just lost my train of thought.
Been there, done that. So what kind of courses do you offer? I know you mentioned some of the stuff that they teach, but what kind of courses?
So we have basic skill courses like lyric writing, again, composing for the voice, comedy songwriting. We have I teach a course on book writing structure and aesthetics, which is really a book writing / dramaturgy course. And then at the center of the program is our core collaborative workshop, which is sort of similar to what certain other programs have. It's a weekly group course in which students have collaborative assignments. They go off in ever-changing pairs or trios to answer an exercise, and then come back for commentary and sharing with a panel.
Nice.
And that panel is constantly shifting from week to week to week.
That's great, because you know it's always good to get the new fresh eyes and ears, and you know, half our industry is networking as well, and just meeting new people, which makes such a difference.
Yes, and mentorship and trying to create a community is really important to me. A community of people that really are genuinely supportive of each other's work. Some may have more experience, some may have less experience, but I think everyone can learn from each other. And anyone who's taught knows that you learn just as much, if not more, from teaching than you do from being a student. And what I love about our faculty is that they come into it with that spirit. No one's trying to prove what they know. They're always ready to explore and open up questions and ask new questions and to be wrong, frankly.
There's nothing wrong with being wrong. You learn almost more by being wrong than being right. So
certainly. Yeah.
So what level of experience should people, if they were interested in this, come into? Do you take all levels, or are you looking for a certain criteria, or how does that break down?
Well, really we are open to people with all levels of experience. And we have courses that can help accommodate different levels of experience. I mean, the trickiest area is in composition. So if you don't have a ton of musical training, we actually have a course specifically for you called Fundamentals of Music Composition. And that's for anyone who really wants to explore more fundamental theory, notation, song form, and it's open to words, people who can't necessarily read music, or slightly more advanced people who maybe took music up until eighth grade but haven't visited it in a while. And then for more advanced compositional students, we have courses more tailored to them. And we really prize passion and interest. And if people are willing and interested in really breaking open the field and exploring their assumptions about it, we're for them.
Right. Are the courses offered online? Is it just in person? Is it a hybrid? How does that work?
Most of the courses have an in-person component, but all of them are available online. So you can zoom in from anywhere to the course as long as you're available at that time. Yeah. And some of the courses are exclusively online.
Okay.
So everything is synchronous. There's nothing where you can watch the video later. But if you're available at the time of the course, you can be there in person or remotely.
That's fantastic because, you know, musical theater is a global thing. So yeah, I have no doubt there's people, well, everywhere who'd be interested in getting help with this.
In the past, we've had students from Australia, from Costa Rica, from Colombia, and or just from other parts of the United States and from Canada. So it's been a really wonderful experience to get to create a global community around musical theater writing.
I feel bad for the Australians because I've had to interview them and they're like at 1 a.m. always. So good on them if they're tuning in.
Well, our classes are in the evening.
Oh, okay. Sort of
specifically, our attempt was to calibrate it so that if you were in Australia, you could get up first thing in the morning and take the class. Yeah. And if you're on the West Coast of the United States, it will be the afternoon for you.
The problem with the global thing, there's no winning. There's no matter when you set it, somebody's going to be asleep.
But that's very true.
That's awesome. So how can people learn more about what you're offering?
Well, the best place to go is our website, which is www.musicalcreatorsinstitute.net, and that's musicalcreatorsinstitute.net.
Do you have any social media stuff that they can learn, you know, see the progression of people or
we
or
do. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. Yes.
Fantastic. Well, and more of a personal thing, do you have anything in the pipeline that you've been working on that you're allowed to talk about?
Yeah, sure. Yes. Always working on many projects, of course. We Derek and I have a show that we're just kind of getting almost ready to put out into the world, which is called Techies. And it's a musical comedy sort of built for the high school and college market. It's set in a high school theater department, and it's about the war between the actors and the technical theater kids for, I guess, a foothold on the lowest social rung of the school. You know, it kind of vaguely follows the path of the French Revolution. And initially the techies wanting to just be, you know, equal citizens with the actors. And then they go on strike, and then they say, you know what, we are actually more important. We're powerful. We're more powerful than you. And it kind of goes through all of those stages. It's funny, but it's also really, you know, heartfelt. I think the audience builds close relationships, really comes to care about these characters who are all unabashedly themselves.
That sounds like a fun premise. And I never cross a technician. They are so important. I always tell my actors, you know what, these people here, they're just as important, if not more important than you, because no matter what you do, you can't be seen, you can't be heard. So yes, I totally agree. Viva la techie.
So yeah, so that's one of the projects we're working on. We have a show called Second Line, which is based on a novella called Toast, and it's set in New Orleans a few years after Katrina. And we've been working on that show quite a lot recently with a wonderful new director that we're collaborating with, who's based in New Orleans, named Donald Jones. And that's been just a really wonderful experience. And that's, I think we're working toward a workshop coming up in the next year. And then we have a show that we've been working on for many years called Unlocked, which actually had an off-Broadway production about 10 years ago. And that we have a producer on that who's pushing it forward, and it's going to have a workshop at the Phoenix Theater. So we've been doing some rewrites, sort of, you know, the world has changed so much post-pandemic, and we are just, I mean, the show is set kind of back then-ish. It's based on an 18th century poem, but it's still a kind of postmodern fantasia. And but with, you know, with the changing world, we are also making some revisions to the show to bring it, to bring our version of back then-ish into this moment.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, congratulations on all this, on the shows that you've got going. It's always exciting to learn about new works. And I'm, that is my favorite thing by far, is discovering new works. And I look forward to discovering all the new works from all the people at the Institute as well. Was there going to be a showcase of works, or is it kind of, how's that going to work?
Well, there are periodic opportunities to hear work generated in the program. We did a cabaret about a year and a half ago, and then at the end of last year, we had readings of the various full-length shows that were created in the program. Nice. And online, there are actually on our website, you can see some of the work that was written for the program, that some of which is performed at 54 Below and at other venues. So that's something we're working on constantly, is ways of allowing our students a platform to share what they're doing.
That's fantastic. If when you do, let us know. We'll help promote the heck out of it. I'm also going to add the Institute to our MT resources page on our website, so people who are writers can go there and learn more about you and check you out, and you know, maybe they can get some help from you as well from the Institute. So
thank you so much. That would be wonderful. No problem.
Well, again, Sam, thank you so much for coming on, telling us a little bit about the Musical Creator Institute, and all the best with the show. And I'm definitely going to be looking for that techie show, because that one sounds like a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.
That was Sam Carner, the program director of the Musical Creator Institute. Tune in next week as we'll speak with another guest or guests about their life, love, and passion that is musical theater. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.